Hello, it's Wednesday, April the 13th, and we're in Revelation 20. We've seen in verses 1 to 3 the binding of Satan. We've also seen in verses 4 to 6 the triumph of the martyrs in the presence of the Lord Jesus, enjoying what John calls the first resurrection, and the second death, the day of judgment, has no power over them. Now in verses 7 through 12, we have the defeat of Satan and what he calls the second death. Following the 1,000 years, a period that I've understood as from the day of Pentecost to the second coming of the Lord Jesus, Satan is released from the abyss in verse 7. It's the language here of Ezekiel 38 and 39, Gog and Magog gathering in war against Israel, and Israel understood here not as the literal Israel, I don't think, but Israel understood as the New Testament understands Israel, as the church. Some see this as a literal battle, the Battle of Armageddon, mentioned in chapter 16 of Revelation, but I don't think that is necessary, which makes it difficult. What I think is envisaged here is that before Jesus comes, there will be a period of time when Satan will be released. There will be great torment, there'll be war, there'll be antagonism against the gospel. Notice a short time in verse 3 of Revelation 20, just prior then to the second coming. It is John's way of describing what he talks about elsewhere in his writings as the Antichrist, or what Paul refers to as the man of sin in his Thessalonian epistles. And shortly before Satan is thrown into the bottomless pit, he seems to have a moment when he wages war against the church, and eventually his defeat will be sudden and dramatic. Fire will descend, Satan will be cast into the lake of burning sulfur. You can read about it here in verses 7 through 12. And in verse 12, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. It is the triumph of the church over the forces of darkness. Well, we'll pick up the concluding section of Revelation 20 tomorrow, but for now, have a wonderful day.